Let us come then to the reading this evening in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. I want to speak from the chapter from the first verse, but especially on to verse 10. Now we realize that we are on very holy ground when we come to these verses. It is the evening before the crucifixion of our Saviour. And the disciples and the Lord are gathered together in that upper room in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And our Lord has prayed. And our Lord then does a most amazing and unexpected thing for his disciples and with them. I don't know of any artist that has taken advantage of the opening verses of this chapter and drawn something of a picture of the scene set before us, which is quite incredible, that what was usual when you were a guest going to somebody's house and after walking the streets of Jerusalem, that you'd come, and it was a very pleasant thing to have the servant of the house, a slave perhaps, to just to wash your feet. And it seems that nobody was very interested in that on this particular evening, as if one was waiting for the other to do something. And then our Lord, the Son of God, takes it to himself to wash the dirty feet of his disciples, going from one to one, washing them, drying their feet, to say that those men would have been stunned that night. We need stronger words than that. They were completely baffled, and they felt there's something wrong here, that this Lord Jesus, who had been with them for so many months, that he should humble himself, that he should come down on his knees and take that bowl of water, that towel, and engage himself in washing their feet. It's a well-known scene in the Gospel of John, but we never appreciate that, the wonder of that. The Saviour had come down from heaven to earth, and now he comes down to wash the dirty feet of his disciples. What a scene. What a humility. What a humbling of himself. It's all about salvation. It's all about what the gospel is. And later on, Jesus says, "Don't you know what I've done to you? Among other things, I'm teaching you that as I have humbled myself to wash your dirty feet, so you are responsible to take from me that example of serving one another, whatever that means." But this evening, I want to look in particular later on in the passage, because just after that, as we've heard this evening, Peter begins to argue with the Saviour. He was always the spokesman, and he is embarrassed, and he can't take it, that he can't suffer this. It's all wrong. And so he begins a conversation and an argument, really, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we are going to look at this evening, and how the Lord speaks and explains to Peter something even deeper than the washing of the dirty feet of the disciples. So we turn to the end of that chapter. Verse 6, "Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not now understand, but you will know after this." And there's something there that speaks to us, doesn't it? How little we really understand. After years of professing to be Christians, there's so much that we don't see clearly. So Peter wasn't very unusual after all. We can identify with that, can't we? That he needed the Lord himself to explain to him what this was all about. Not only the washing of dirty feet, but the whole gospel is involved. Jesus goes on to tell Peter and the disciples, "What I have done to you tonight is what I will be doing on a cross tomorrow." I will be washing sinners from their sins. You notice in our, as we've sung our hymns this evening, that every hymn has contained that that whole picture of washing, and our Saviour himself in verse 10, he uses three words: "He who is bathed." It's all about washing, isn't it? Bathed. And then he says to wash his feet, but is completely clean. Three words saying the same thing, really. Washing, cleansing. And Jesus is saying here, this is what salvation is. That man as a sinner is contaminated. Not just are we guilty before God for our sins, but we are, there's a vileness, an ugliness, a dirtiness about our sins. What we are by nature in the sight of God is not clean. We need to be cleansed by God himself, or we shall die in our sins. In the sight of a holy God, sin is horrific, a denial of what God himself is. Do you know, we need to be reminded of this more than we realize. Not just once when we become Christians, but as we shall see in a moment, on a daily basis. John Owen, one of the old Puritans, he wrote a book. It's not, I commend it to you, it's not a very big book, but I remember reading it in my college days when I was a very young Christian. And the title of the book is Indwelling Sin in Believers. Would you want to read a book like that? Well, it's about the reality of what we are, even as Christians. It's about sin. That dreadful thing that came into human existence back there in the beginning of human history. And Jesus is going to explain to Peter, this is what that washing was all about. And you notice in the Bible, you notice when, in the Psalms, for example, when David, King David, had committed those horrific sins against a friend, against a woman, and against his own soul. And when the realization of what he has done comes to him, he says to God, "Wash me clean from all my transgressions." And in the prophets, they say something like this: "A fountain has been opened for sin and iniquity." Right through the scriptures and in the New Testament, can you imagine yourself in a congregation in Corinth? And I imagine it might have been a Sunday morning when they had received a letter from the Apostle Paul. And in that letter, Paul addresses the congregation. Think of it, they might have been a small company or a large company, but in some house perhaps. And Paul addresses the congregation like this: "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And throughout the New Testament, you have that sort of phraseology, including the idea of washing from sin. We need to be washed and made clean because we are dirty in the sight of God. And that must be dealt with. And Jesus has dealt with it for those who are his people. In the book of Titus, we are told about the cleansing of regeneration. So it's all over the scriptures, this whole idea about being washed from our sins. Now then, let's do what our Saviour did with Peter. He breaks, what does this mean? And he breaks it down into two parts. And it will help us this evening, as it may have helped Peter and the others to understand the wonder of our salvation. There's two main parts to it. And it's put in very, very simple language. The language of a bath or a shower, and the language of afterwards, during the day, when you've had your bath and shower in the morning, during the day, you handle something and your hands become dirty. So they're not the same, are they? One is complete, a complete cleansing of your whole body, the bath and the shower. And then during the day, you pick things up, and your hands or some part of your body, your face perhaps, show that you need a wash again, not the whole thing. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's not more confusing than that, if you think that you are confused with what Jesus says in this passage. So let us follow the teaching of our Saviour then. It's wonderful to have a Saviour who explains things to us, isn't it? Because we can be quite dumb sometimes. We can misunderstand something. But our Saviour comes and speaks to us and says, now this is how it is. And I want to throw light on what will be happening tomorrow on that cross. I'll be doing something for my people. It will begin and then it will continue. Now that's what we are going to look at for a little while this evening. This twofold aspect of our salvation, twofold cleansing of our sins. So our Saviour is there on the cross already, as it were, and he knows exactly what he's doing, what he's going to do for his people, what this cleansing of their sins will mean for him. And he begins with a great act. When you become a Christian, as we saw this morning with Zacchaeus, something final and complete and thorough happens, because Jesus accomplished for you and for me on the cross something that never needs to be repeated. And that is to deal with the issue itself of this sin that we were born with. It's part of our nature. It comes easily to us. This relationship with Almighty God that was broken. And it has made of us people who cannot be accepted as we are. We are anti-God by nature. In his sight, in the sight of his holiness, we cannot possibly be right with God. But Jesus on that cross has done, needed to be done. We need to be thoroughly washed from our sin. The big issue of sin needs to be dealt with once and for all. There on Calvary, he hung and dealt with that thief by his side. The state of that man, a terrorist, if you like. It's more than possible that he would have killed people. That sin was glaring in the sight of God. He was a guilty man. And Jesus came to deal with that. You have an example of this once for all cleansing us from our sin. In that account that Jesus gives of two men going into the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican, one very good in his own eyes and perhaps in the eyes of others also, a good, decent, law-abiding man. And he's gone to the temple to thank God that he is better than most people around him. He does things that nobody else would think of doing, and he does not do things that other people are doing. He thinks highly of himself, and he may have reason for thinking that. And then this other man who comes along to the temple, he doesn't even bother to show that he's there at all. But his prayer is very simple. His awareness of sin. And he just says, beating his breast, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Our translations say a sinner, don't they? But if you looked at the Greek, it says the sinner. He looks at himself as if nobody else existed. I am the sinner. I am more sinful than anybody else. I know my heart. I know what I've done. I know what I deserve. Be merciful to me, the sinner. And as he prays, somehow he is realizing that there in the temple, there was a visual aid. The place where the Ark of the Covenant, the covering of that Ark was represented how God shows mercy to sinners. That there is a way for sin to be forgiven because of blood shed. So brother, this publican, he has grasped that. And he throws himself on the mercy of God. But now this is the amazing thing. That Jesus gives his verdict on the two men. The only one who has the right to make a verdict on us. That Pharisee had no right to think of himself as better than other people. Only God knows what we are. But Jesus says of that publican, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He was right with God, and he knew it. He knew that God had washed him, that he was different in the sight of God, that God regarded him as a holy man, as a righteous man, as if he'd never sinned. When he became a Christian, that's the amazing miracle of the grace of God, that God, when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you throw your everything in trusting him alone for your salvation, to cleanse you from your sin, he does it. And God seals it and says in the hearing of angels in heaven and to your own conscience, your sins are forgiven. You're clean. Now, if we turn to the remainder of this passage, we see that as Jesus speaks to Peter. Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." That is Judas Iscariot, of course. "But you are clean." Think of in your heart, in your mind, in your conscience, you hear God saying to you, "Because you've come to my Son and trusted yourself, your soul to him, you are clean." It's almost impossible to believe, isn't it, that a holy God can declare of any one of us here this evening, "You are clean. I've dealt, my Son has dealt with your sin." My friend, do you know that? You're a Christian. Do you know? Are you satisfied because you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied with God's verdict on you? You don't deserve it. It's all because of what Jesus did on that cross. And we need to be reminded of that again and again and again, because we forget, don't we? And one reason for that is what I'll look at briefly in a moment. So that's the beginning. That's when we become Christians, when we trust absolutely the Lord Jesus and what he accomplished for us on a cross. We are washed from our sins. It's a once-for-all act that God passes that verdict on us. It will never face us again. So often, as a pastor, I've had to come to people who look miserable as Christians, and when you begin to speak to them, they tell you, "Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not fit to be a child of God." And I remember, I won't give any details as to names, but I remember one afternoon in Dowlais, I went to see a lady in a shop, and she was usually a very, very happy lady, but she wasn't happy that day behind the counter. And as I came in, she started talking, and she said, "I think God is getting even with me for something I've done. And I've been such a terrible Christian." And on and on and on. And as she went on and on, my face broke into a smile. It's not what pastors usually do in a situation like that. But I knew what I was going to say. I said, "Why are you smiling, Sylvan?" she said. "There's nothing to smile about." And I said, "Don't you know that Jesus died for you? That he settled that once for all, the whole issue of your unworthiness. Don't you, have you forgotten that?" And to her dying day, she remembered that afternoon and thanked God that he had sent me to that counter in the shop. But you see, it's easily forgotten, isn't it? That God has settled something and he will not bring it up again. It's complete. It's once for all. It doesn't need to be repeated. If that just comes anew to us this evening, it will have been well worth us coming together. God justifies the guilty, the unworthy, the people who have such low estimates of themselves because they don't see themselves developing as Christians as they would want to. We come to the cross again. And that's where we are now coming as we bring the service to an end. That's one part, isn't it, of the picture that Jesus gives us here of our complete salvation. It doesn't end with the beginning. Because you see, when we become Christians, as Zacchaeus told us this morning, it's a time of great joy, isn't it? We are full of what God has done for us. But then we live in the world. We live with ourselves from day to day. And somebody says something to you during that day, and a quarrel develops. And as night comes on and you go home, and you know that you've responded to a quarrel in a most horrific way. You've said things that were dreadful. You used words like hate, perhaps. I hate you because of what you just said. Day by day goes by and you're so disappointed in yourself with the filth of your tongue. The things you say, you don't intend to say them, but they are said and you can't undo them. And like that book by John Owen, Indwelling Sin in the Hearts of Believers. Now, if you're a Christian this evening, I'm sure you don't mind me saying that as bluntly as I can. You are living with a sinful heart day by day. You're living with something that distresses you. You hate it. You hate something that in yourself which shames you. That you still sin. And your Savior died for you. You wonder, what can I do? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed, he who's had that shower in the morning, he who's been delivered from the curse of the guilt of sin, needs only to wash his feet. It's ordinary language. We mustn't make a problem out of it. And he says, you don't need the whole treatment again. God has seen to that. You are justified. You're his child. He has forgiven you. He loves you with a love that will never change. But in the wrong sense, you need to come and again and again, to the fountain that cleanses. That is, to Calvary. The Christian life, you see, has a beginning, but it has a continuance, and it's all at the cross. The whole of our salvation rests on our Saviour who died for us. And we come back again with our disappointment in ourselves, with a curse of indwelling sin, with things that were said and done that are shameful in a Christian. We come daily to the Saviour. We confess our sins. That is John in his first epistle, isn't it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. It's so simple, isn't it? And yet, from day to day, we need to discipline ourselves to do what happened that first day, back to the cross, where we first met the Saviour of our souls. Sing some of those old words that people have written before us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me pure within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the last hymn we'll be singing this evening, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. A line in that last verse of that hymn has been to me a blessing over the years. As I pray, make and keep me pure within. The daily exercise of coming to the Saviour and saying to him, you have cleansed me on that cross, from the guilt and the terror of sin. But I come to you today again, Lord, and I say to you, make and keep me pure within. I trust as we've looked at this passage this evening, we'll hear the voice of Jesus teaching us what to do, because there are times that a Christian will not know what to do. He's just so disappointed and he feels the threat of, I'll do something wrong tomorrow again. I'm so ashamed of myself. Am I a Christian at all? Well, the Saviour says to Peter, you don't need a repetition of what happens tomorrow on that cross. It's a thorough work what I will do for your soul. But Peter, you know yourself. You let me down tomorrow before the day breaks. But you remember Jesus, when he was risen from the dead, told those women, go and tell my disciples, and especially Peter, because he knew that Peter couldn't live with himself since that terrible denial of his Lord. So, my friends, let the Saviour himself encourage you in your walk from day to day as a Christian. Don't let the devil get you down and tell you it's not possible that you're a Christian. Surely, look at yourself. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And he brings us to his cross and to the cleansing that is found, yes, daily for us there. May God bless his word to us and make us the Christians that we want to be and can be by his grace. Amen.